Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. To be successful, business marketers need to work alongside professionals from many other disciplines. But what's the perspective of those professionals on us? What do they like about business marketers? What annoys them? And what do they want to change? I'm delighted to be joined today by VP Sales at EMEA in Uberall, Louis Fernandez. Louis, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Dave. Really great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's brilliant to have you here again. So for the benefit of our listeners, where in the world do we find you today?
Sadly, not anywhere too exotic. I'm just outside of London. Though it might have been a bit different last week because I was fortunate enough to be away for the bank holiday weekend in Portugal, which was fantastic. But yeah, today, a bit more mundane, back in the treadmill.
On the plus side, really strong Wi-Fi, so we don't have any connection issues, and you're coming across loud and clear for us. It's great to see you. So you're VP Sales EMEA at Uberall. What does Uberall do?
Right, great question. So very succinctly, what we help our customers do is connect with consumers in a hybrid way. What does that mean? We help brands get found, be chosen, and drive loyalty through consumers' journeys from online to offline, particularly where we have those hybrid interactions. You may have heard the term phygital, where we're moving from physical to digital and digital to physical.
Right.
So that's ostensibly what we do. The main way that manifests itself, and a great example just for your listeners, is if you're out and about and you're looking for a product or a service, the first thing you tend to do is you reach into your pocket, you pull out your phone, and you'll search for something. That is the start of your digital journey. So getting found when you're searching, regardless of what the platform might happen to be, is how we help you then connect. That's generally the way that people looking for these things today is they'll look for things near me. So it's about convenience. The next thing we then do is, as well as connecting you with things that are close to you, is then we also help those brands with their reputation management. So not only is it convenient, but do I trust the brand that's going to proffer me the services and the products? And the last thing we do is we help drive those interactions into stores so that people can enjoy the physical experience. That's ostensibly it.
Cool. And your VP of sales, which is kind of an unusual job title for this marketing podcast, right? So it would be great if you can give us a view of your perspective on VP of sales. So where does sales start and stop in your world?
Well, it's kind of interesting because if I think back, so I'll give it a little bit of a health warning first of all. I am, in fact, originally a marketer.
Yes.
And I got into sales latterly. But actually, it was kind of interesting because, you know, I moved from being effectively client side marketing in B2C to agency, to then the agency got bought by a tech company and I ended up selling. So, and it happened to be MarTech, which is much the same as, you know, what Uberall does. We're in the MarTech space as well. So I think the interesting thing about that is that a lot of people think that sales and marketing are two different disciplines. I think of it all as part of the same continuum. And I think back to my B2C days, when you're marketing in a B2C environment, the objective of your marketing is one of two things. It's either brand activation or it's sales activation. And most typically when it's sales activation, it's about how do you affect revenues? How do you sell stuff?
Yeah.
And even if I think about brand activation activities, really, what is brand activation? Well, it's kind of long-term sales activation, right? Because ultimately, why do we do marketing? To sell things.
Yeah.
So, for me, like I say, it's just that one continual sort of loop, sales, marketing, marketing, sales. And, you know, I think we're increasingly using the term smarketing, where we see these things blending together. And I think that for me, the main thing in a sales leadership role is, yes, I have my teams across EMEA actually going and physically closing deals with our prospects, with our customers, and helping deliver that value to them. Mm. However, in order to do that, and anybody in a B2B environment will know, will be familiar with the funnel, you know, you've got people coming in at different levels of the funnel, you've got people moving through that funnel, you've got conversion metrics through it. I need to be concerned about all of it, because whatever goes in at the top of that funnel and we start converting through different layers ends up ultimately as a deal that we close and revenue that we recognize.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that gives a sense of where your world starts. But by that definition, there'll be points, Louis, where you're working alongside business marketers.
Absolutely.
So how does that bit of interoperability work?
So I think it's again, quite interesting, because I think most, certainly a lot of conversations that I end up having, marketing's responsible for lead generation. Marketing's responsible for demand generation. Marketing's responsible for ABM. And it's sort of left there. But the reality is, they're all the way through that funnel, you know, you're engaging with your customer, your prospect. And actually, if I think about communication particularly, it's always a two-way street. It's always a dialogue. And you have to have those dialogues with people at different points through that sales cycle. So whether it's the collaterals we use that our marketing colleagues are creating, whether it's the right at the very top of things, you know, even the strategy and the segmentation, the targeting, the positioning of what we do, all of that needs to work with sales, because we have insights as well from the people that we interact with. This is what's important. These are the features or the functions that they value. This is how it translates through to the business metrics that we're addressing.
Yeah.
And then that has to be taken by our colleagues in marketing to turn it into relevant messaging, targeted to the kind of personas that we want to target, and also supporting us all the way through that. So, you know, is it something whereby we're looking very top of the funnel? How do we maybe do things like performance marketing to bring people in? How do we create those inbound things? How do we use ABM as an outbound tool? How do we, when we're actually engaged in the deal, use some of the techniques and the tactics to actually enhance that sale? It might even be just things like, we have an RFP that we need to do. How do we create an RFP response that looks really great, is differentiated, and isn't just a small Amazonian rainforest that we happen to have killed, and there are 273 pages that nobody's ever going to read? You know, it's those kind of things. How do we differentiate? Equally, when we have engaged customers, what do we need to do from a point of view of, you know, webinars that we might run, even for existing prospects that are there through the funnel, where we're saying, you know, we want to engage somebody in a piece of thought leadership, or we want to demonstrate a platform or something like that. We need to attract people in. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's as cut and dried as marketing sits at one end of the spectrum and sales sits at the other. If you're doing things collaboratively, actually you all sit across myriad parts of that sales cycle and beyond, because let's face it, even once we've sold something, that's just the start of the customer's journey with us, really.
Yeah.
How we engage them through their life cycle, how we continually help deliver value, how we help optimize what they do, is partly down to the people that do that through our customer success, but it's also partly down to the communications we have, telling them about some of the innovations that are going on, not just with ourselves, but also in the industry generally. How do they maximize what they're able to do? What are the best practices? And that's where value happens. And I think that's something where, you know, the content that we provide for those things is absolutely front and center stuff that comes out of our marketing department.
So you portray there a very collaborative and respectful relationship between the different disciplines. What would you say is the frequency of interaction that you're seeing between those two teams?
So the way that we work is we have sort of weekly, at my level, I have a weekly with my opposite number in marketing. I also then have weeklies with not just my directs, but on the, I will use the analogy of a fence just to say, you know, this is where the sort of handoffs are.
Yeah.
And the collaboration as well, but, or the other side of a table rather, with hands across it, you know, with not just my directs, but also my opposite numbers directs. And we have those conversations and they tend to follow three main themes. One is around what should our strategy be? How do we work collaboratively? What are the things we should be doing? And that's more around, you know, really looking at things at a high level. Yeah. How does it then dovetail into the metrics we need to be performing against? The second bit is, I think, more around the tactics that we employ. You know, what campaigns are we going to run? When are they going to run? Who's going to need to be involved? How do we project manage those? And then the third level of interaction is much more in the sort of review. How has something gone? Where are we tracking against things that are live? So those are kind of the three levels, I would say, of interaction. And, you know, as is not going to be a surprise, whilst it all sounds like roses and light and, you know, brilliant and fantastic, life's not quite as straightforward as that. And yeah, you know, there are going to be times when sometimes, and it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, there will be bits of friction, but yeah, they need to happen in order to get to a better result.
And in some of your answers, Louis, you've kind of alluded to your kind of previous career in business marketing. And I wonder if you could perhaps give us a bit more detail on that. So kind of what your journey through your career has been to get to this point, to perhaps take us through your descent to the dark side.
Do I have to do an evil laugh at this point as well, David?
we'll just edit that in, Louis.
Okay, great. I knew I could count on you.
So take us through a bit of your career journey today.
Yeah. So actually, like I said, I started B2C and actually working in retail banking. Somewhat oddly for these days, I actually did a banking apprenticeship. And as part of that apprenticeship, covered both sales and marketing, but actually thought, I really enjoyed the marketing side and then went into that there. And then stayed with B2C, but then ended up in travel before then moving agency side. And that was really, for me, I think, the eye-opener, because anybody that's ever worked agency will recognize that you're working with a lot of different brands. So you see a lot of things happening in different ways, different campaigns, different ways of working. You learn a lot from that. The other thing that you also have as you, either an account director role or in a client services director role, those kind of roles, you're responsible for the P&L on the account. So that becomes much more commercial suddenly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're looking then at revenue growth. And actually, although I know agencies recoil from the word selling, that's actually what a lot of the stuff is. You're selling ideas, you're selling concepts, you're selling campaigns. And that's really where that all started. And then having been bought, like I say, this was at the time working for Axiom. Axiom bought the agency I was working for, Digital Impact. And, you know, suddenly you're in a tech world and actually growing the revenues on those accounts was no different to, well, actually, there's a new piece of technology. This is how we think you should use it. Let's sell that in. So it started off with more of the upsell, cross sell. But because I was selling into marketers, and actually, even now, I mean, what I do ostensibly Uberall is, we are a MarTech platform. I'm selling to CMOs. My teams are selling to marketers, actually having an appreciation and understanding of what goes on in marketing generally really does help with that. Because, you know, I mean, a good example about sort of stuff that's particularly relevant right now, you've got all the large platforms at the moment talking about the end of third-party cookies. So right now I sit there and I go, okay, well, what's the impact of that if I was a marketer? And suddenly a lot of the digital marketing that I'm going to be doing, where I'm maybe cookieing somebody and then retargeting them on other websites, that's going to be gone.
Yeah.
So all that spend that I maybe have for my paid media, what am I going to do with that? Because I'm going to spend the same money. It's not going to be as effective. Suddenly my ROI goes down. So are there other avenues where maybe I need to look at it, where I need to plug that gap? Now, that's not about technology. That's not about, you know, the bits and the bytes and the speeds and the feeds. It's not about the features and the functions.
Yeah.
It's purely about the economic outcome from where I'm going to get the biggest ROI and bang for buck for what I'm spending. You know, if I'm going to spend, you know, $1 million on paid media and now suddenly the performance halves, I need to find other things that I need to do to plug that gap, because ultimately, you know, revenue is going to be what I'm focused on.
Sure.
Then I make, fold into the mix other things like, for example, the current economic climate. One of the first things that as a CMO I'd probably be thinking about is, well, you know, interest rates going up, prediction of inflation. I mean, what was it, Citi the other week? 18.6%. And then I saw something Goldman were talking about, 22%.
Yeah.
You know, you sit there and you think, right, these are existential issues now. And again, we're not talking about marketing. We're talking about consumer confidence. But equally, it's going to have an impact on the marketing department. So how does that then translate into the propositions that we or anybody else might have? And the and how we maybe position things in that kind of way of thinking about what am I going to do to help a CMO attract new customers, retain existing ones in what's ostensibly going to be a shrinking market. So it's just a different way of thinking of things, I think. And that's one of the benefits it's kind of given me, because I can genuinely sit in a CMO's shoes and think these are the kind of things that, you know, are really going to be, for want of a better term, keeping me up at night.
Has the move that you've made to the sales arena changed your perspective on business marketing?
Yeah, it has. You know, I think for me, it's much more now about how do you express the value of what it is that you do. For a long time, you know, we're going back 20 years, it was pretty straightforward, I think, to go out to a customer and start talking about how brilliant your features were and the functionality of whatever it was you were selling. And, you know, you had a reasonable hack at getting a sale out of it. Today, not so much. Now you're thinking more about the value that it's going to provide in financial terms to the brand that you're working with, but also the outcomes that it's going to give to the consumer. So in our field, it's like, what's the customer experience going to be like? Does it enhance it? What about things like other metrics? For example, NPS, does it have an impact on that? How does that then impact lifetime value? So, you know, I think the paradigm of what I'm thinking about is very different. And as a consequence, when we then engage with customers and prospects, we're talking much more in those kind of terms, where it does become about, you know, real impact that's relevant to shareholders, that's relevant to, you know, stock prices, that's relevant to top line and bottom line. And yes, of course, the technical bits will come into it at some point, and they are important because, you know, I may have a problem around how I manage my data. Great, fantastic. We need to solve for that too. But what I think happens with most marketers that we would target is they don't wake up in the middle of the night going, I've got a data problem, I need to sort that out. They're probably thinking, I've got a revenue issue that I really need to address. Part of that might be that I have an underlying data issue. But that's kind of a secondary issue to the main thing that I'm trying to solve for.
So do you think business marketing has got too theoretical or too far removed from how the audience really thinks?
I think that can be the case sometimes. You know, it's like anything, Dave. It's a bit like a pendulum. And we've just seen it through, I'll use COVID as a good example. Pre-COVID, everybody was going into offices, you know, and that was a great thing.
Yeah.
Through COVID, everybody's gone work from home and offices are empty.
Yeah.
Now people are realizing that actually both extremes probably aren't the right place to be. You know, and it's something, candidly, it's something we talk about a lot in our organization, where we're saying, for an employee experience point of view, how do you bring teams together? How do they learn? How do they coalesce? How do they grow? How do they even learn to have those social skills, especially for new employees coming in? That's just as an example. So the answer is somewhere on that pendulum that I was talking about, somewhere in the middle. It's no different with marketing. You know, we can be a bit too esoteric sometimes, and then it's also not great if you then moved purely into the, here's the logic, here's the finance, here's this and that and the other. The reality is, it's, you know, a bit of art and science.
Yeah.
And it's how you use the science and weave it into a story that people can relate to and have empathy with. I mean, it's I think it was Simon Sinek that was talking about the limbic brain system. We make an emotional connection with something and then look for data points to rationalize what it is. You know, marketing needs to think in a similar way. We have to make those emotional connections. Love is a strong emotion. We have people that are in love with certain brands. They're evangelists. Why would we not want to create that same feeling, that same sentiment for our own brands, but equally be able to then deliver the value at the same time? And I think it's that mix of the two. It's not one extreme or the other. But what I do find at the moment is that I think we are maybe a little bit too far, certainly in certain areas, where we're not talking enough about the value that we deliver.
Is there something you'd urge business marketers to be reading in order to be able to understand that perspective better?
I'm not going to give you one thing. I'm going to give you four.
Go for it.
Right. So firstly, I've already mentioned him, Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
Start with why. If you read nothing else other than the cover, that's already a good start. You know, the whole point is, you know, that's the fundamental question I think we're all trying to answer. Why would anybody care about anything I have to say about whatever it is I'm talking about? And making that connection. And that leads us to both the emotional and the rational connections that you need to make. Why? And one of the things that Sinek said in one of his very first talks was, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And that's a great mantra to bear in the back of your mind if you're a marketer and you're thinking about sales activation.
Okay.
The next two are related. And this is more to get in the head of salespeople and also the head of the customer. One is the challenger sale, and two is the challenger customer, both by CEB, now Gartner. But they're great books to sort of help you understand the kind of way that I think certainly very good salespeople position things about not telling, but teaching. You know, and taking the customer on that journey of opening their eyes with great anecdotes that tie back to those metrics that we've just been talking about. And it's from two very different aspects. Like I say, one is the sale and one is the customer.
Okay.
And then the last one is, it's an ancient tome. And I was thinking about this. Hugh Davidson. We're going back away now, right?
Dating us both, that one, you're mentioning it, and two, I know what you're going to say.
Even more offensive marketing would be the book. But a lot of it still holds true. And I think in this very digital age, where, you know, there are new channels, new routes, new everything to market coming out every 5 minutes, getting back in front of the fundamentals of what you're doing and really understanding that, and really, you know, as the title suggests, being a bit provocative. There's nothing wrong with that.
Great tips. So if people want to find out more about Uberall, Louis, what should they do?
Three things. Firstly, they can either come to our website, uberall.com. Secondly, they can follow us on LinkedIn. We have two sites there. One is our corporate one and one is Life at Uberall. We'd love to see you on either of those. And the third thing is, by all means, have a look at some of the content that we have out in the web sphere. You know, some of it's on YouTube. We've got stuff on various different channels. Just have a look. The other alternative, by all means, just do get in touch with me directly.
And that's what, through LinkedIn?
LinkedIn's always the best.
Louis Fernandez, thanks very much, mate.
Dave, thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely speaking to you.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Louis Fernandez. And thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.